We are at Critters, and we're talking with Ed.
Hi, how are you today?
Pretty good, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
What can you tell us about the store and its beginnings?
Well, we opened up 30 years ago in another location, and we moved to this location in 2001 and grown the business from there. Business was booming quite well for most of it to that time frame, and it's been really affected hard the last 3 years. One, due to COVID. Two, lots of construction downtown, underpass being built, lights taken out at the highway. People are very funny in the way they do their shopping, you know, and if they get inconvenienced any way whatsoever, well, they just don't come back. And the consumer in this town focus on being able to get in and get out as easy as possible. And if it makes it a little bit more difficult, well, they get into a routine of going someplace easier, right? Yeah, so it's been tough. The economy, the interest rates is making the economy a little tougher. Cost of doing business has gone up 30%. People are tightening up their belts a little bit, not spending as much money. The only thing that I can recommend is that we're the only locally owned and operated pet store in Salmon Arm. The rest are big corporates and sponsors. I mean, even though they do hire local people, they are run by corporations. And we're the only locally owned.
So the money stays here?
The money stays here. All your money stays here. Yeah. And we're competitive. Some people say we're expensive, but we're no more expensive than the other stores, except, you know, you get the odd item that comes in here and it might be pricey and they assume that everything else is expensive, but we're very competitive, especially when it comes to pet food. We do the frequent buyer program. We have a website. We also do free delivery in Salmon Arm. So if you happen to be down and out and you can't make it to the store, you can pick up the phone. We'll deliver right to your house.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if the other pet stores do that.
Yeah, we don't worry about what the other pet stores do. We try to do as much customer service as we possibly can out of this store. And hopefully people see it and continue to shop here. I think it's important that people realize during COVID created a large group of people to order things online and have them delivered to their homes. That's what we're facing right now, too, in the pet industry, is people buying pet food online and having it delivered on a regular basis every 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever their pet food needs are. And they got into that routine because of COVID. They got stuck at home, they got in quarantine, they had things delivered to their house, and they just continued doing it. Not realizing they're paying more money in the end for that product when they could get it locally and have it delivered to their home for less money.
Did you make any changes to the way you ran your business during COVID?
Oh, yeah. I revamped our website to work in conjunction with our point-of-sale program so that, you know, if we're out of stock on a particular product, it'll pop up on the website. So anything that's on the website is in stock in the store. And we can deal with that on a regular basis. And you can order online right through the website. Not a problem. We'll take credit card over the website. And it's safe to do so.
How long have you personally been in the area?
I grew up here. I left here in 1977 after graduating from high school. And I came back in 1993, and 94 we opened the store.
And where was that initially?
The store was at the corner of Ross and Lakeshore, where now it's an empty parking lot for Saskew. It was the old Napa location. The Napa location was there. They were there 37 years and decided to relocate, and that's when I picked up that location. And then we moved here in 2001 to a larger premises.
Has business been just as good here as it was there?
It was much better here. But since, like I say, since COVID, we have drastically dropped in sales, hopefully to recover.
So what kind of products do you handle?
Well, we carry 90% of our pet food is Canadian made. So we carry the Petcurian line, which is Go, Summit, Now, as well as Champion Pet Foods, which is a Canon origin. And that's quite a large selection of different protein flavors. So you got your beef, you got your pork, you got your duck, you got chicken, you got turkey, weight management, light formula. You got a whole pile of different varieties. We also carry Canadian Naturals, which is your most reasonably priced pet food, Canadian-made pet food today. Very competitive with the Costco brands. very competitive with any of the lower end products, but you're getting a high quality product for that price. We also carry Nutrients, which is a care formula, and the care formula is 100% prescription diet. So the diets that you buy from the vet, the care formula will cover that. And it's the first time that's able to do in the pet industry, because the veterinarians have had a hold on that for the last 30 years, where you can only buy it from them. Now we have our formula, you can buy from us, and it's about half the price of the vets. Yeah, so it does work in your favor to come in and ask for it and look for it. What else we carry? We carry all the canned food, cat food, same thing, Canadian Naturals, Origin, Summit, all Canadian made. We try to stay with Canadian made because you use Canadian ingredients and nothing from China, where, you know, in the past they've had a lot of problems with Chinese ingredients. Not the quality. The quality just doesn't come here properly. So we use Canadian ingredients. Yeah.
And you cater to...
We have fish products. We carry live fish, freshwater. We stay out of the salt business because it's very, very expensive. And there's no guarantee on salt fish in regards to mortality. And that could happen. You buy it, you own it. We also carry birds, lizards, small lizards. We don't carry anything large. They do make nice pets. Guinea pigs, hamsters, cockatiels, conures, and we carry all the supplies for them. We're a full line pet store, which is very rare in BC now because most of it's just cat and dog, and they don't carry any pets.
You also cater to rodents like mice and rats, pet rats?
we bring in pet rats. We don't recommend mice because mice carry, you know, certain diseases that are harmful to humans, whether they're pet mice or wild mice, but we sell live mice for food. Okay, so I mean, snakes, you know, and some other animals need mice to survive, and we sell that here as well. We also sell the frozen variety too, which have different sizes from small to extra large in the freezer. What else do we carry? We carry crickets for anybody who needs the crickets. Lizards eat crickets, spiders eat crickets, you know, and we sell lots. We go for about 3,000 crickets a week right now.
Where do you get your crickets from?
It's called the Cricket Farm, and it's from the coast. They come up every week and deliver us crickets every week on a regular basis. So we sell them by the each. Some stores will sell them in packages, but half the crickets are dead by the time you get them. So crickets' lives are very short. They're about 6 weeks for a total lifespan of a cricket. And they don't have a central nervous system, so they don't feel pain. They're there for protein purposes only. Yeah. And we sell mealworms and superworms and hornworms and anything else to do with feeding animals. And animal care, my staff is very well versed in animal care, so they know how to look after hamsters, they know how to look after guinea pigs. You know, we do the best we can to educate our customers when they leave, but we also recommend that you go online and learn more, because we don't always know everything, but we try to learn the basics and teach you the basics. You know, you buy a pet, they rely on you for responsibility, for cleanliness, keeping the tanks clean. Dirty tanks can create an ammonia gas inside those tanks and cause respiratory issues or death to animals. Another one that's really, really bad that people don't realize that can harm pets is those little misting vapors that you put in your home, that you put little scents in there and you get perfumes and stuff. Certain perfumes will kill animals because their lungs are just too small. They can't handle the oils that are emitted in the air, and they will kill an animal. And we've had that. And that's the only way we figured it out, when customers were coming in. And I believe in this case it was a budgie, and the budgie had died within a couple of days. So we gave another budgie. Well, that budgie died within a couple of days. And then we got down to the bottom. They had diffusers all over the house diffusing these perfumes, but that was harmful to the budgie. They stopped that, the budgie survived.
Well, they used to use canaries for the same reason, right?
Yeah, for air quality. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you learn these things. You never really think that a home diffuser would be harmful to an animal, but it is. It can be harmful to dogs and cats, too, as well, if it's used a lot. Yeah. And we also have grooming. Michelle's been with us now for I believe, a year now. She's got well over 10 years of experience. She's an awesome groomer. And so if anybody needs their dogs groomed, we do groom on a regular basis. And she's always available. So we do walk-in nail clippings and fantastic grooming.
Would a store like yours have a veterinarian on call or for consulting?
No, that's really, really hard. I mean, the big players in the business, like PetSmart, they have veterinarians on staff, but their stores are 20,000 square feet. They have room for a veterinarian office, which is separate from the store, because it has to be separate from the store. In order for them to sell the prescription diet and everything else, it can't be amalgamated to the store, but it can be beside the store. So they do that with the door opening between the two, right? So there's a little fine line between the rules there, but they're big enough, they can do it.
That's where you're in the area of the corporate business taking over or being able to sort of one up the...
Well, we'd like to say we have better service, customer service, and so on. But these corporate stores, they come into towns, even if the town is already inundated with enough pet stores, or not necessarily pet stores, it could be any particular product that's being sold in a family-run business. They walk into these thinking they're going to put them out of business. They don't care. They don't care if the market is saturated already. They're just walking in and hopefully put you out of business within a couple of years, because they can hold on a lot longer than you can. And that's what happens.
In a small town situation, it has an effect.
Yeah.
More than just...
That and online shopping has a real big effect on small towns. We're not gonna have... I really feel that within 10-year time, we're not going to have small retail because of the online shopping that's going on, the convenience of people, especially the younger generation, because that's all they ever do. They know their phones. They order things on their phones. They know it's going to get delivered. They don't realize what they're doing to their downtown core or even their shopping malls, for that matter, the small stores that are going in there. If they're not shopping there and they're shopping online, those stores are going to lose and end up closing down. And we're going to see a lot of vacant spots, I think, in the next 10 years. A lot of vacant spots.
Well, if you were to close down today, how many staff members would be out of work?
Six. And a bookkeeper. So seven, right? Plus myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, and we've been employing people for 30 years in this town, and they're all young people. It's a job that most people move on. They come here, they work 6 months or a year, go back to school, and further their careers in other avenues. But I do have a manager that's been with me for quite a number of years, so they stay a lot longer. But the bottom three employees usually rotate because they're going to school. Right? We hire a lot of students.
The other day you mentioned that you'd lost business due to parking.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, not necessarily parking. We've lost business because they took the light out at the corner, right? Made it very difficult for people to access this road. People are fickle. They get into a routine and they don't like to change. And they come by and they go, oh, well, I can't turn left here anymore. Right? So they just carry on. And they go find their product elsewhere. The road construction, the 2 years of the underpass really affected the downtown core because they blocked the roads. You've got the market in the summertime, and the market's a wonderful thing to have, but they shut the roads down to make it even difficult for people to get around in their vehicles. So that all affects the retail business in the downtown core. You know, we go to the malls, we can relocate to the mall and not have those issues because the mall stays open all the time, even under construction. They make sure that you have good access. Whereas the downtown, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. If you're a squeaker, they'll accommodate you a little bit. Just like this case now that they've left Ross Street under construction, but they've left half the road open and accessible to the Ross Street parking lot because of complaints that were made to the district before construction. And if those complaints weren't directed to the city hall, they would have closed the street and just left it closed.
Yeah, because I noticed, I thought Ross was closed the other day when I was down there.
It was, Sunday.
I saw there was parking and I could get in.
Yeah, and they put a ramp in so you can get into the Ross Street parking lot and so on and so forth. But if the businesses didn't complain, they would have just closed the street and just done their job. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, unfortunately.
What keeps you in the downtown core as opposed to going to a mall?
Well, malls are more expensive to operate a business. I mean, because they take a percentage of the gross sales, as well as you're paying so much for a square footage and common area costs. And that usually is quite a bit higher than having a single building. And I own the building here. So that's a good thing for us. I mean, we own the building. My rent's never going to go up unless I sell and we sign a lease with a new owner or something. But downtown is, when we first opened up, downtown was the place to be. Because people needed one downtown. There was no pet stores. There was one at the other end of town. We were the second pet store in town. And people liked the fact that downtown pet store was the way to go. And of course, you know, after 30 years, I mean, population has grown. I mean, when we first opened up, population was 8,000 people, and it's now 20,000 in 30 years. So it has grown.
Is there a way to get people back? Once they get used to shopping online, is there a way to turn that around, do you think?
Normally there's an answer to something like that. You know, like, what do you do to encourage these people to get off that bandwagon and then back to local shopping? That's a difficult question. I mean, we do network marketing. We get on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We push it as much as we possibly can to get to these people, because that's what they are. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. They don't read the newspaper. Everything is on their phone. You know, and you want to get that message out to them, but how much navigation knowledge do you have to get those? I mean, I don't have enough. I'm learning. I'm still learning. And I ask people for lessons all the time that are very well versed on how to navigate through all those. And sometimes you got to pay the price. I mean, you want to reach 1,000 people, you got to pay Facebook a certain amount of money to get to those people, and so on and so forth. So it's a learning process, but hopefully we get the message across and they stop. But it doesn't seem to be working. If you have an answer for me, I'd be more than happy to try it.
Did anything change when, because that's Kentucky Fried Chicken over there, it was.
Was.
Right? Was, yeah.
Yes.
Did anything change when they shut down?
No, not at all. No, and it would be nice to see somebody take that over, but then again, they want a large amount of money for that space, and right now nobody's willing to pay it. But times could change, you never know. You know, I know there's lots of people that look at it, but nobody's really bitten the bullet on.
There's all that parking that's just not being used and it's just sitting there.
Yeah. But they spent money cleaning up the parking lot and putting in new lines and everything else, and the people go in there and park, and then they got a liability issue there, right? If somebody trips and falls in their parking lot, they can get sued. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot of variables going on there. So they keep it closed so they don't have those problems.
There's a lot of people with pets in town here. Every spring there's new puppies.
And droppings. New droppings, yes, that people don't pick up behind themselves. But, you know, a good majority of the population do, which is nice. But you get that 5 or 10% that don't, which makes it difficult for other people to navigate.
So you sell bags for that, don't you?
We sell poop bags all the time. And we sell a lot of them. So, yeah. And the district puts out those waste bags too, dispensers at all the trails. And you would think people would use them, right? Yeah.
Pets, they become part of the family, and they're important. And
they're the important part of the family.
You talked about the pet's well-being, but they're also important to a person's well-being.
Pets they're not just the outside pet anymore. They're the indoor pets. They sleep with most people. They're there for support, you know, psychological support, friendship. There's a lot of people out there that don't have a companion other than their dog or cat, and that's very important to them. The only unfortunate part about pets is they live short lives.
That's right.
Yeah. It'd be great if they could live 30, 40, 50, 60 years, but they don't. You know, and we know when we buy a pet, especially a dog, your dog's lifespan could be anywhere from 10 to 14, 16 years if you're lucky. You know, we know that's going to be a short life, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we're not prepared for it. You know, but the good thing about it is we're allowed to prevent our animal from having severe pains and suffering. And we can put a stop to it.
No, I've seen people with their pets day after day, and then one day they come along without, and their pet's not with them, and you can tell by the look on their face that
they do.
Their pet's
gone, and then
they do. And normally, you know, they. Like, I get a lot of this, well, we don't want it anymore, that's it, we're done. And then 6 months later, oh, well, we just couldn't do it without pets. And that's a normal occurrence. I suggest to people, if you're going to buy any kind of a pet, dog, cat, do a little research on those particular breeds, because every breed of dog is different. Every breed of dog needs certain different exercises, certain types of foods, certain companionship. Some are designed for digging. You know, and if you don't want a dog that digs, don't buy one that digs, right? Because that's what they're bred to do. Or you don't want one that barks, don't buy a herding dog, you know, because they're going to bark no matter what you say to them, that sort of thing. So, you know, you got to do your homework before you buy a puppy. Make sure that puppy's going to fit your lifestyle, and you're not going to be able to make that dog fit your lifestyle because they're bred differently.
I see you support a nonprofit society.
We support Shuswap Paws. Now, they're wonderful people. Their major concern is feral cats and salmon arm, but they also rescue dogs. They also rescue other cats that are unwanted. But their main event is feral cats. And they do a really good job on picking up the feral cats, having them fixed at the vet office, getting them inoculated, shots, microchipped, and then put back into the wild, because chances are they can't get tamed down. Some of the kittens they pick up that are feral can be tamed, and then do sometimes find homes for them. They just went through a puppy situation that was picked up out of Saskatchewan, which were trapped by a trapper and left in the trap for a couple of weeks before they were checked, and they were, and I believe half the litter survived, the other half died. But they were there to rescue these puppies and the mom, and get them to a vet to get them looked after. Apparently, the laws in Saskatchewan are totally different than they are here, and dogs are actually, I guess, hunted, not necessarily hunted, but trapped. And then they're usually left to die, or they're put to sleep. One was just released at the vet office actually 2 days ago.
Yeah,
so they were really sick.
Yeah.
Really sick. And I think two of them survived?
There was three of them. Well, there was four puppies and mom. Mom and one puppy didn't make it to the vet. And then two of the puppies were doing okay after their vet care, but the third puppy had to come back to the vet. So. Yeah.
So this is what Paws does in Salmon Arm, and they do a great job of it. In fact, we give them a 10x20 storage unit outside our store for all their products and storage, so they have their kennels and food and kitty litter and anything they need to support their animals that they rescue. People can, their volunteers come here and pick up supplies and deal with their animals.
The other storage place they have is out in Blind Bay, which isn't always convenient for the volunteers that live in town. Right?
Yeah. So.
I see a sign over there where people can buy pet food and donate.
Yeah, we have a donation box for the SPCA and for the Paws Rescue 24 hours a day here, and we make sure that they get their products. When the box is full, we get it emptied out for them.
Do they get a lot of support from your customers?
Yeah, for sure. They get a lot of support, period. So the Paws Rescue has done very, very well for support in this town. They have about 9,000 followers, which is amazing for a rescue society.
So, you donate this, then?
I donate the space for them, yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
How long has the Shuswap Paws been?
I couldn't tell you that. I don't know.
What kind of connection would you have with the SPCA?
Not quite the same relationship as we do with Paws. Only because the SPCA changes people around, and you got to get a new relationship with them. I mean, right now we've got a good relationship with the SPCA because they've closed the Vernon branch down, and the Vernon branch people have come to Salmon Arm, and they're a little easier to deal with than the previous board. So it's just one day you're good, one day you're not. But so far, we're knock on wood, it's good.
From his office.
Yeah. Because it's such it's a BC run operation, they have different values and different views.
Because it's much larger than...
Yeah, than larger than local, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They often ask about the rapport that a business owner has with the other businesses in town.
I'm not involved in the boards anymore, like the Downtown Improvement Association, the Chamber. I have sat on those boards for many years, but I don't sit on them anymore. I'm letting the younger generation come in and make different decisions because they have different ideas than we do, right? So it's better that they sit on those boards. But, you know, going from business to business, we have a good rapport. We know everybody. Everybody downtown knows everybody. You know, it's a pretty close-knit community. We all know each other. And we're all, I'm not the only one that's suffering in sales. Everybody downtown is suffering in sales. You know, it's just unfortunately, the sign of the times right now.
People are sticking together and helping out each other, supporting.
Well, they're trying to. We try to make sure that we shop local. We try to make sure that we shop at the stores, that we're familiar with downtown. Sometimes you can't because they don't carry everything that you'd like to have, but we try to stay as close to downtown as we possibly can. Right? It's a downtown experience. That's why we have a downtown, because we like it.
Did the forest fires last year cause you any issues?
Not in this business. No, because, they needed pet food. People needed a lot of pet food. And we were there to support them. I got them... what did we end up with? About 2 skids of pet food for the fire relief?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, donated to us to give to them. So, you know, we did, that's a good thing about us being in this business for 30 years is we have enough contacts out there that if push comes to shove in an emergency, we can get some free samples. And they're more than generous to deal with it. They pay for the shipping and everything together, right?
Is there a busier time of year? Like, do you have summer?
Yeah, I love it. Summer's the best because the Albertans come here in droves. They remember their pets, but they forget everything with them. Leashes, collars, pet food. Love it. And they don't ask for discounts. You know, being a small business, that's another kind of a thorn in my side is because we're a small business and we know people. People come in thinking that we can get discounts all the time. They want discounts all the time. You go to Walmart, there's absolutely no way they're going to give you a discount. Canadian Tire will never give you a discount. Why? Because you don't know the owner, right? And people walk in expecting discounts, and it's tough on a business. You know, you start thinking about the bottom line. You give $20,000 to $30,000 in discounts in 1 year. That's your bottom line, right?
I think that might be a strategy that they're using online. You shop online, you get.
You don't though. I mean, that's the key. I mean, they get you to order at first at a discounted price. Sometimes it's 50% off your first order, but they don't realize that the order prices go up and up and up, and you're paying more for a $50 bag of dog food. You might be paying $75 online, and because you're on a rotation basis, you don't see it until you get your Visa bill a month later, and you go, "Oh my gosh, I paid that for the dog food." Or you don't even look at your Visa bill. You just pay it. They don't realize that they're paying more money. It's a catch 22. They get you in the beginning on a cheap purchase, and then you continue to go and the prices go up. The cost of doing business has gone up well over 30% here in the last couple of years. Hydro, light, gas, you know, everything to do with business has gone up. Telephone, you name it. Very, very expensive doing business now.
It's kind of a vicious little circle because as the prices for you go up, you have to put your food at prices up.
You do.
You have
you know,
no
the
choice.
bags of food that I used to sell 30 years ago for $30 is now $100. And it's not like we're making any more money. We're not.
Yeah.
Because, we have a set margin on pet food because it's so competitive that we're not making any more money. It's just the cost of buying has gone up that much. The cost of producing it has gone up that much. Labor costs, that's another issue. I mean, the NEP keeps raising minimum wage. When we first opened up, we were paying, I think, $5.35 an hour. Now we're paying $18 an hour,
yeah.
Right? And our sales haven't really increased that much, but our wage costs have.
Well, again, the vicious circle, because people need the money to live.
They sure do, and I get it. you want those wages and you want to live the lifestyle that you want, you got to shop local and entertain the local stores so that they can afford to pay those wages so that people can live those lives. The Amazons of the world are taking over, and I think you're going to see the deterioration of little towns. That's what's going to happen. Empty stores.
Do you think that's happening as we speak?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely happening. Look around. I mean, all you got to do is walk around, and you can see even the downtown core, how many stores are closed. Go to the mall. Same thing. You know, how many trinket stores have come and gone in this town? How many cosmetic stores have come and gone in this town? How many franchise stores? This is the only town I know that franchises go broke. You know, ABC Restaurant, Humpty's, Quiznos, Zesto's, they all went broke in this town. Caesar's Pizza, right? All went broke. Franchises, you know, big corporations that have backing couldn't make it to this town.
Why do you think that where 7-Eleven was, there's nothing been there since? Why do you suppose that?
That's the property, the owners of the property, which is Imperial Oil. They spent the last 3 or 4 years after the building went down to clean up the contaminated soil. Now the property's for sale. I mean, and really, if someone jumped on it and built themselves another 7-Eleven or something, I'm sure 7-Eleven would love another location because they did well there. They did very well there. You know, there's no reason why 7-Eleven shouldn't go there, but it wasn't up to them. They didn't own the property.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, that was awesome.
It was Imperial Oil that owned that owns the property. That's just a corporate decision, obviously.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah, it would be nice to see something there.
Yeah. I mean, we're fortunate enough to have people like Bill Laird who, you know, revamps the downtown. He has the financial means to clean it up and make it look nice and get it leased out. And he makes for a very good partner for a lot of these local retailers. So we're very fortunate to have Bill Laird here to do all that. But saying that, we still need people to shop downtown. We still need people to shop local and entertain these stores. They got to get back to touching and feeling things instead of ordering online.
Well, that is the bonus of having a local store. You can actually go in and see what it is. Yeah. Like a lot of complaints you see on Amazon, where it was junk when it arrived.
Well,
you know.
You know, the funny thing is when people buy something online, and we carry that particular product, and they buy it, they don't like it, they want to bring it back here. Oh. They want to return it to us. No, you didn't buy it from us. I'm sorry, I can't return it. You know? Yeah. So, that happens too. It doesn't happen very often, but that does happen. It's funny that they would even think they could do that, but it happens.
Do you think nighttime shopping will ever take off in Salmon Arm?
I tried it. They used to be open Thursday and Friday and late nights till 9 o'clock, and you drop a pin any time of the day after 6. I mean, we're open till 6 o'clock. We're probably one of the later stores in the downtown court that's open till 6. I mean, other than Askew's, which opens till 9 or whatever it is, they open till. But we open till 6, and we're open 6 days a week to 6 o'clock here, and Sundays we're open till 4. So we're open 7 days a week. Other than Christmas, Boxing Day, and New Year's, we're closed. And we open all the other days.
Do you take special orders if somebody has something that you can get?
We are the only pet store in town that will do special orders. And that's frustrating, too, because people want us to continuously bring these particular orders in on a regular basis, and all of a sudden the pet passes away or the pet stops eating it, and we're stuck with it. So that can get quite expensive for us, too, as well. So we're very, very careful on how we order and who we order for. Because that happens, right? And then we get stuck with it, the product expires, and we don't get any money for it. So we've got to be careful. But we do special. Yeah.
Just another thought about the nighttime.
You have to get everybody on board. You know, like even the malls don't do well with nighttime shopping. They've stopped it. I don't even think they go to 9 o'clock on Friday nights anymore. This town is a sleepy hollow. They seem to roll up the carpet at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock at night, and that's it. You can't get the restaurants open. I mean, some of the restaurants do. They open up for dinner. But the daytime restaurants don't open past 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. And it's got to be a full everybody open or nobody opens, because that's what people want. And there is a lot of people who walk around town. If you come here in the summertime, busloads of people from the Prestige Inn walk around town. And there's lots of them.
Yeah, maybe it would be a tourist incentive.
Yeah. But one store doesn't cut it. It has to be everybody knows it. It's really, really hard. 99% of the businesses that are around here walk off. They don't have employees. They work from 9 to 5 or 8 to 5, whatever time schedule they put themselves in. And they're burnt out. They don't want to work till 9 o'clock at night. They put in 60 hours a week. And for them to stay open later, they'd have to put in a lot more. And that could be cumbersome for some of these small businesses, right? Like for me, I'm fortunate enough that I have employees that I don't have to be here all the time. You know, they work the weekends for me. I don't work weekends unless I have to.
It's kind of what goes along with the small town living is your work-life balance. So that would kind of throw that off.
It does, yeah. But the Montpaws that come up here from the coast, they sometimes think they're in semi-retirement mode. They don't want to work past 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, they're quite happy with that. And they might make a living, you know, in a small store environment that they're doing, but they're not going to get rich by it. That's for sure.
Any thoughts that you wanted to voice that we're not touching on?
Shop local.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. Shop local, shop local, shop local. Entertain the local stores, locally owned stores, because they're the ones that put money back into your teams, your local charities. Like we donate to almost every Rotary auction, and there's three Rotary clubs in this town, and we donate to all three of them every year. You know, and sometimes it's $2,000 or $3,000. Like I'll donate 2 year supply of dog food to be auctioned off, and that's $1,200 each value. You know, we do that, and Bollywood auction we donate local sporting goods all the time, sport shops, sports events, Rotaries. There's several other charities we deal with. I mean, just whatever charity walks in the door, we usually donate to. You know, the paws, that sort of thing.
I'm sure it was you that saved a bird in the...
Again.
And you've probably told this story
I've told this story a number of times. We were out boating out here on our beautiful Shuswap Lake. And we noticed that there was a bald eagle struggling to get out of the water. And eventually that bald eagle got up and flew away, and I all of a sudden I could see this little head bobbing up and down. I said, well, there was more than just a bald eagle, and I thought maybe it was a baby bald eagle. And so we turned the boat around and went up, and it was an osprey who was attacked by the bald eagle and was injured. Left wing was severed quite deep, and it was struggling to get to shore, but it was in the middle of the lake. So I dove in with a towel and wrapped the bird up in a towel. For whatever reason, that bird was calm. It didn't fight me. It could have pecked my eyeballs. I was that close to his face. And we put him back in the boat and took him to the wildlife rehabilitation, where he was back, recovered, stitched up, and recovered and moved on. So it was a good event.
Has he been released now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Long time. Yeah, ospreys do not do well in captivity. They don't like captivity, so they need to go back in the wild.
Did you happen to go when they released?
No. I wish they would have notified us, but no.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That would have been something.
It would have been something else. We could have taken pictures and stuff, but no. We did get pictures for at the rescue, and Paws, believe it or not, came to the rescue for me too, because we phoned them to see if anybody could transport this border bird to the wildlife, because we were in the boat. We didn't have transportation to get him to Kamloops. And one of the volunteers from Paws stepped up to the plate, brought us a cage, and took that bird to the wildlife. Yeah, it was a cool event.
Yeah, it's a sweet story.
Yeah. Yeah, we got interviewed with CBC Radio, CBC National News, CTV National News. It was a good event. Yeah. Not sure why anybody made a big event about it, but they did. It was good.
Well, it's unusual.
Yeah, it's an unusual thing. Though.
And these days it's hard to tell. You see so many great stories online about people who have rescued whales, other animals, sea lions.
It happens all the time. And we were just fortunate enough to be there at the right time, right? Yeah. And we're fortunate for that bird.
Yeah. It's interesting. These animals seem to sense that they're being helped, and they don't
It was like I thought for sure this bird would have fought me. The only thing that actually I got nailed in the finger by one of his talons when I was lifting him up into the boat, because he grabbed a hold of my hand with his one of his talons, and I had to pull the talon away from my hand. But other than that, it was fine.
You could feel how strong these birds are.
Oh, they're strong. Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, for sure. So.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us.
I appreciate it. I hope it goes well.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, guys.